8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Hey, well, welcome out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Welcome, welcome. Hope you are all enjoying this very, very beautiful day. And I am reunited with some old friends that I haven't seen in a very long time, it seems like. My friends from Dom and Bomb, Kim and Delana. Welcome, you two. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. It's been too long.
It has.
And we're going to talk about a big event that you have coming up. And we're also just going to get caught up on a lot of cool stuff that's been going on. So how have you guys been?
We've been great.
Yes, amazing.
Super busy, but things are going. It's been amazing.
Yeah, this has been an amazing year so far.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Are you guys still... Now, for people who don't know about Dom and Bomb, why don't we just give them a little introduction about what it is that you guys do?
You want me to?
Okay. Go ahead.
So we are a size and gender inclusive fashion brand right here in Spokane. We have sizes 5XL to extra small, and we also offer tailoring and styling, and all of our services are gender affirming. So anyone who wants to can come in, wear our clothes, get their clothes tailored to fit them, get styling support from Delina, and just we help people be very happy in their clothes and in their skin, and it's wonderful.
And Delina, I see you're nodding your head. Do you agree?
I do agree.
Now, I've had, you guys have done alterations for me and fixed something. Yes. He fixed a coat, a jacket of mine that I was like, I bought this beautiful kind of brocaded jacket.
Yes, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and I got it at Goodwill for like 10 bucks, and I thought, this is a steal. And I got home, and it was like, the seam was ripped out. It was like slashed, and you guys fixed it perfectly. And, you know, I think that's really important when people go to a place that they know that they're going to be accepted. You know, sometimes people are a little bit nervous about, you know, I've had people do contract work for me in my house, and you just go, I don't know. I don't know what this person... You know, what they really think about me. And this is great to go to a business where you know you're going to be accepted.
Yeah.
Do you kind of get that feedback from your customers sometimes? Or
absolutely. Awesome. We just had a client come in, a styling client. We've also done some tailoring with her. And she told us that our work is life-saving.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's incredibly rewarding.
And why don't we tell people where they can... find you. I mean, there's two places they can find you online. And then also, they'll find you a lot of the, I think you're at Pride usually. Yep. And do you do Unity in the Community? Did you do that?
We didn't this year. We are going to, so we were at Pride in Perry this year. And then coming up in September, we're doing the Spectrum Family event in the park, which is September 21st.
Okay. And then you have a brick and mortar store too.
Yes.
So why don't we talk about where those are and how people can find you?
Yes. So our website is www.domandbomb.com, and then our brick and mortar is right across the street from the Northtown Mall, 59 East Queen, Suite 106. China Dragon's on the corner, so everybody seems to know that restaurant.
Right.
And then
landmark.
Yeah, so we've got a small space right now, but we are looking to expand hopefully here soon. So the more people come in, the more support we get, and the bigger space we can get.
Fantastic, fantastic. And now you have been, last time, and we're going to get to the event here, but last time you folks were here, it seems like there was something, there was like a big secret that was going on, and you weren't allowed to tell me yet, and I don't know if I ever found out. I know my listeners never did find out.
We're here to tell you. This is the first time we talked about it publicly.
You know how many times people, the phone rings here, and I have to say, I don't know yet.
Well, I hope everyone's ears are perked up.
I hope they are, too. So what's the... What's,
do you want me to start?
Yeah, you start. It was Kim's idea that really came into this beautiful miracle.
Okay. Oh, a miracle. I want to hear this.
I've been a fan of Mercury Stardust, the trans handyman, for a while now. And she, if you're not familiar with her, she does DIY videos focused on home repair for renters. And she's actually a New York Times bestselling author, has written a book on renter friendly guide to home repair. I was just watching some of her content, and she mentioned that she's working on a clothing line. So I actually reached out, did some research, reached out and said, hey, we have this brand. We've done a lot of work as far as size inclusivity, patterning. We have a lot of data related to body shape and size. Do you need any help in this area? And her staff reached out and they were like, yeah, we would love that help with that. So I can't talk too much about that. That's still in the works.
Okay.
But because of that relationship, we had a project here in April that really was super fun and totally amazing. So Mercury does every year, does a fundraiser with the Point of Pride organization, which is a national nonprofit that provides gender affirming healthcare. And she raises money every year. She does kind of like a telethon sort of event every year, raises money for Point of Pride. First year she did it, raised $1 million. Second year, $2 million. This year set a very ambitious goal of $4 million for this fund. She got bombarded with trolls, just attacked online, and she lost her go live privileges. And in response to that, she made a video and she said, you underestimate how much I run on spite. And a bunch of people, right. That resonated.
That's with mine. Yes. That's what powers me too.
That's yes, right. Hey, a lot hey, of us.
We built a business on it.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a bunch of people in the comments that said, oh my gosh, I would buy that on a t-shirt. So we reached out and said, we can put that on a t-shirt for you. And within a week, we had designed the t-shirt. We had it offered for sale. We went international. She has an international audience. So we were having sales as far away as Singapore.
Wow.
We in a week, we became an international brand. And we ended up donating $20,000 to Point of Pride as a result of
that
t-shirt.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yes.
Now, this person in their... They're starting their own clothing line too. Mm-hmm. Isn't it, it's funny because you would think like you guys would be competitors, right?
Right.
But I love the cooperative model.
Oh, there's room for all of us.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And I just think that so many times the things we do fly in the face of everything that we were taught about economics that was wrong.
Right.
And that's just, I mean, look at just the example of what this did for your business, and you did a good thing for other people and for a lot of people in this whole venture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's a myth of scarcity. That's what capitalism does to
us. Yes, it is.
And we have never believed in that myth. We built a business on there's enough for everybody, and we're going to help. We're going to kick open that door, and we're going to hold it open. And there's we need as many size inclusive clothing lines as we can possibly get. And everybody... The thing with fashion design is everybody has their own perspective. So even if we were going to do similar garments to her, it would still be ours because it's our vision and it's her vision and it's this designer over here's vision. So it's all beautiful. The more we can put that creative, our creative touch on what we do, that there's enough for everybody, and you'll find your customers and it will be great.
And now you've got customers from all over the world. I remember in, taking an economics class, one of my first years of college, I think it was like macroeconomics, 1978, 18 years old. And they said, the first rule of economics is that there are limited resources and every person has unlimited wants and needs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I have limited wants. I don't want everything, And so I thought, it's hard to have buy-in on something when it's just so faultily rigged up to begin with.
You know? Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And so have you seen, have you continued to kind of get interest in your work from other parts of the world that weren't getting?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got orders. We've received orders for our items, not necessarily the t-shirt, mm-hmm. from all over Canada, Scandinavia, parts of Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, do you find that most of your business comes from website or stuff or walk-in or how? What do you find?
The sales of clothing on the website, but the services walk-in.
Yeah.
Like the tailoring, you know, we have months where the tailoring is what keeps the lights on.
And you guys have a pretty cool origin story. Do you want to kind of share that, how you met and how you got started?
Sure. It is interesting.
It's a fun story.
Because it's kind of boring how we met, right? So we both work, right? It's all work. And super, I would say like a strict corporate environment where we kind of had to operate in a box a little bit to be successful in corporate America. So we worked in public health. We worked for a communications firm. Kim was the VP of communications, and I worked directly under her. And we busted our butts, you know, doing that work. And the pandemic came and kind of knocked our heads together. And we said, wait a minute. You know, we're overwhelmed by the demand of our work. And if we could put even just a portion of what we do now and our ways of thinking into our own business, we might have something here. So we, you know, took a risk in the middle of the pandemic. Kim left with June
2021.
I left July, and I had just, you know, completed graduate school, so I was supposed to go into a more serious job, of course, but we took a risk. We kind of joined arms together and jumped out of the airplane, and this is where we landed. And so if we had not done that, wow, I can't imagine where we'd be today.
Yeah.
I probably live in a very like boring experience. It may be sad because there's something that we tapped inside of ourselves, not only creativity wise, but there's nothing more amazing than being able to genuinely connect with people and share experiences with people that understand what it feels like to not be in the in crowd and not be in the bubble, in the box. And you just want to live and you want to be able to be yourself and experience life the way you want without someone else kind of prescribing that for you.
Right.
So we open our doors, people come in and they, you know, sometimes they have a bunch of joy that they want to share. And sometimes they have some traumas and just some bad days that we can really relate to because we know what it feels like to be the one outside of the bubble. But you know what? I am happy being outside of the bubble.
Yes,
but I had to create my environment. We had to create the room to be able to do that. And so
you both had kind of a learning curve starting into this thing too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because your first, if I remember right, did you make masks? Was that
the
first
thing? We started off making masks. We did. We made lots and lots of masks. We bought all of this fabric and we thought, you know, with our hands, we could at least save this region from COVID, but
and you did,
right? So you know, that's how we sparked our business. And our first photo shoot, we made all of our own garments. If you go back and look at pictures from that shoot that are still on our website, we made those clothes.
Wow.
And we were up until wee hours of the night driving to our, you know, one another's homes in the middle of the night and in the morning to make sure we got things ready for that photo shoot. So going from that moment to now, we actually have someone working with us that is better at it than we are,
sure.
You know, where we're learning. It's just an exchange. So what we've learned along the way, we're able to share with someone what they've learned, you know, from another place and other experiences. They're able to share with us. So that's how we're able to make people happy.
Yeah.
Is we don't just try to do it ourselves. We invite people to the table to help us carry out this dream. So
yeah,
it's beautiful.
That's really, that is so cool. And you got, how many years have you been at it now?
We're going into our fifth year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you know, we're going to touch lightly upon it, and then we're going to go do a deeper dive on it. Let's talk about the event. Let me see. I wrote it down. Now, this is what it's, what was it called? It was, oh, it's down in my notes here someplace. What is the name of the fashion show
called? It's called I Am the Runway.
I Am the Runway.
I Am the Runway.
We are the Runway.
We are the runway.
We are.
I'm sorry. Yes.
You, well, wait. I am and I am together.
Right. We are.
And so when is it going to be?
October 26th.
And where will it be?
Out at the historic Feltz Field.
Oh.
So it's an old airplane hangar that they converted to an event center.
Is that venue is back? Then?
Yes.
Oh, it's okay.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, because I've been out there before, and I thought that guy kind of lost all of his airplanes and stuff, but that's good.
No,
all right.
Yeah, they're open, and it's perfect. It's just the right size. Great. It's very accessible. So we wanted to make sure that the event was very accessible to anybody who wanted to come.
Yeah.
So that means wheelchair, mobility aid accessible, bathrooms, all that good stuff. And Spokane has a real shortage of venues like that.
Yeah. In fact, when I went to a fashion show there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was Rock the Runway.
Yes.
For ARC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is set up perfectly for something like that.
We agree.
Thank you. is it going to be, how many people do you have as models in this?
We have 20 right now, and we're still recruiting. So we're bringing in designers. We'll have our runway show, but then we're going to have designers locally and through the region. So we're recruiting designers right now.
And it all kind of along the same lines of this type of fashion that you all do, or is it going to be a very diverse sort of fashion palette, I guess?
Very diverse. Yes. So we're going to have workwear, streetwear, and formal wear.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
And so where do people get tickets?
Tickets will go on sale next week,
but
they can go to our website, domandbomb.com, and sign up for email updates, and then we'll be posting everything on social media, too, so they can follow us on Instagram or Facebook.
And how long have you all been planning this?
We've started probably in January.
So that's when we have officially started planning this.
Yeah.
This has been a dream of ours since we started Dom and Bomb.
Yeah.
So I would say that we started putting pieces together like a wish list a long time ago.
Years ago.
Okay. Yes.
I think we were like, let's do a fashion brand. Ooh, you know what we could do?
Right.
A runway show.
Right. Like it was. We did all the fun stuff, you know, in our first meeting. Yeah, no doubt.
But we've got entertainment, and it's a fundraiser. All the proceeds are going to go to Spectrum Center, so it's a fundraiser for Spectrum.
Oh, very nice! Yes. And they've Spectrum Center now. They're up on Monroe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. They have their brick and mortar now too.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. Okay, I've got to break and do my 20-minute after the hour business, but I got to load up the stuff on the computer. So we're gonna play a little music while I'm doing that.
to musical history, brought to you by The Vinyl Hour, every Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m.
Help, I need somebody.
The Beatles started recording the album Help in mid-February 1965, and their U.S. release wasn't until later that year, on the 6th of August. The movie's Royal World premiere was held at the London Pavilion Theatre in the West End of London on 26 July 1965, with Princess Margaret in attendance. The worldwide release of the movie was shortly thereafter. This moment in musical history was brought to you by The Vinyl Hour. For more useful information and real serious musical fun, tune in every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey, this is DJ Downlow from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for August 19th through the 23rd. Monday, open mic with Brittany Baldwin and Ben 10 at the Red Room, Ron Green at Mary Hill, and open mic at Live Entertainment. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Tanya Ballman at Riverfront Eats, Brandon Hart at Big Sky Drinkery, Mason Van Stone at the Rocket Market, and Spaced, Curb, and Putty Knife at the Big Dipper. Wednesday, Son of Brad at Beck's Harvest House, Nate Ostrander at True Legends, Light and Mirrors, Chase the Bear, and Indignant Swine at the Big Dipper, the Red Hot Kitten Stompers at Zola, Montana of 300 at the Red Room, and open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard. Thursday, Carly Osika at True Legends, the Ronaldos at Arborcrest, and the Larson Group at Emmerou's. Friday, Gus Santos at Happy Trails to Brews, Red Mesa, Murlock, and others at the Big Dipper, and Royale at Zola. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Dolly Parton's Imagination Library is dedicated to inspiring a love of reading. The organization achieves this by gifting books free of charge to children from birth to age 5. The program spans 5 countries and gifts over 1 million free books each month to children around the world. Information online at unitedwayspokane.org/imagination-library. And I am back, and you are back, and we're all back. And we're listening to, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1, 92.3 FM. More specifically, you're listening to Out and About, and I'm here with my friends Kim and Delana from Dom and Bomb. And we were just talking about a fashion show that, I mean, that's kind of the ultimate of being fashion designers and fashion merchants, I suppose, would be heading up this fashion show. And you said that was a big dream of yours that you've had for quite a while. How have you seen fashion change over your 5 years? Have you seen many changes in what people are doing and what's in and what's going out and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say because we started our business during the pandemic, it seemed as though the trend was going to be like all of this leisure wear, that people were going to stick to wearing, you know, those big comfortable flannel pants and things like that. But that's not what happened. Because the luxury brands did not see a decrease in sales during the pandemic, like smaller brands did, people were still purchasing luxury goods. So while some of us were kind of frumpy and all that, some people were rocking it as soon as they were released, right? As soon as they could go out into the street, they were wearing the things that they thought maybe they would not have a chance to wear because people were passing away, you know, left and right. Yeah. So there was like this wave of, if not now, then when?
Right.
And you could see that in fashion. So it really took like a major leap from, you know, being really comfortable to being like glamorous almost.
Over the top.
Yeah, over the top with color, a glitter, you know, sequined, mm-hmm. like all the things that you might have dreamed of wearing before. Now people are like having the courage to step out and maybe do something different. So we're seeing that people are willing to wear like those timeless pieces, you know, implementing a lot of color and vibrancy into their wardrobes and seeking people out like me that can kind of help you bring those ideas right together, because it's easy to get stuck and just, you kind of need permission to step out there and do something different. So that's what we've seen, is not only are people taking that chance, but they're like seeking permission to get out there and do something different, and not necessarily because someone else is doing it, yeah, but because it's in you.
And that's something that you can assist people with, right? I mean, yes, as far as they can come in, talk to you, and you can help them. Do people have like, you know, you always hear, oh, I'm a spring or I'm an autumn. Is that a real thing?
Absolutely. People are a color.
Yeah.
People really resonate with a certain color. You know, even me, I love earth tones, but when I see pink, like certain colors of pink, it reminds me of really good things of my childhood.
Yeah.
So I find that when I'm styling, that people have a color that reminds them of something wonderful.
Yeah.
And they had not thought about incorporating that color into like something that they can wear every day. But then I'm here to remind you that if you love purple, rock it. Find a way to wear it every day. Maybe get a purple bag that you carry. But if it's a soothing color for you or something that makes you feel really confident, then I help you kind of, you know, push that in. Maybe go out,
sure,
and be really mindful and intentional about what you're buying. Not just buying a shirt and pants, but buying that yellow blouse and maybe that green pair,
yeah,
of trousers that will really highlight your personality.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So you could like run into somebody who comes in there that you might go, wow, those colors on you. But really, you don't know until you speak to them, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, even through a Zoom call. So I do a lot of virtual styling where I can really pick up someone's aura just, mm-hmm, by seeing them,
right,
or seeing a picture of someone. So it's really helpful,
yeah,
to have that one-on-one. But even if I can, you know, talk to you on a virtual call and kind of just pick up, it's just amazing how intuitive,
yeah,
the process can be. And people are colors. People are seasons.
Okay, what season am I? Let's just cut to the chase.
Well, seeing you today, you really did remind me of summer. Like, yeah, because you are just this ray of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and yeah, you have a very lilty, very like springy energy, but you're bright like the sun.
It's bright, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Okay, well, show's over now.
There you go, I know. That's
all I needed to hear. Well, that's cool. And how long did it take you to kind of, was something like a thing you knew all your life, or was it something you kind of had to learn to figure it out, or?
Kind of both. So I was that person where my friends would come over and shop my closet before we went out, and I, you know, back then, of course, I didn't think like, oh, you know what? I'll be a stylist one day. But there are some things that come natural. I was churched. I grew up in a church where everyone, you know, was decked out, like had matching Bible covers, matching gloves, and,
oh, wow,
and the nylons and all that stuff, right? But breaking free of that, I did, you know, pick up some things that I'll always carry with me, and that's how to put an outfit together. So
yeah.
I've been raised by some powerful women who were leaders in our community, who dressed to the nines, you know, and down to keeping your shoes polished and making sure your hair is whipped and your nails are manicured and all that stuff. You know, it just really matters what you put on your body, because it really impacts how you feel inside.
You know, I'm noticing that more and more. And my mom's been sick and in the hospital.
Sorry about that.
But thanks. But it's weird because I usually don't ever wear makeup or dress nice, because I'm usually just at home painting, you know, or, mm-hmm, doing stuff. And for some reason, it's like I'm going to the hospital, so I have to look nice.
Yes.
You know, and I think COVID kind of did sort of take the wind out of people's sails, mm-hmm, for that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Have you found like business to be, has it been a lot harder post COVID, or has it been, what's the economic climate like for you right now?
It's rough with sales. Sales are up and down. Uh-huh. I've been reading, there's a lot of optimism with small businesses, but we see a lot of other small businesses out there, fashion brands that are really struggling. Seems like every day an indie fashion brand closes down. Yeah. So it's really tough out there. And one of the things that the pandemic really did is seems to be a shrinkage of available plus size clothing. So a lot of brands were doing it going into the pandemic, and then they started pulling back. So it's really, really tough to find plus size clothing, but a lot of plus size indie brands are going out of business. And it seems like there's a lot of the Shein and the Temu and all the fast fashion that people are gravitating to. They're doing these big hauls, and it's all about the quantity of things that you can get. But those garments are designed to fall apart after four washes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about fast fashion, and it's also ecologically pretty devastating too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm having a more of an appreciation too. Is that you get something nice, it lasts a really long time,
right?
And you know, and I think most of my jobs, I've worn a uniform, and there's something about having a uniform. Like your daily uniform that you put on that I really like.
Yes. Like this t-shirt.
Yeah,
yeah, we're exactly.
Wearing ours, yeah.
Like this. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and your uniform can look great. Yeah. It doesn't have to look bad. But I just think, like, you get something really nice, it's going to last, make it your uniform. And then you kind of take a lot of the big decisions you have to make about getting dressed each day, too.
Absolutely.
Away, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I was one of those kids that I could not be seen wearing the same thing twice.
Yes.
But since we've had the business, not only have I educated myself on the dangers of thinking that way and how that impacts other people, like who's making my clothes, and how can I afford so many clothes, really, right? What's the secret? So it's comforting to have something like a t-shirt. Like all of our t-shirts, we swap them out, we wear them all the time, and then when we dress up, we really do feel like we're dressing up.
Yeah.
You know, when we have to go to an event or something like that. But it does feel good to have something to wear that, you know, it's reliable and it doesn't wear out. Like our t-shirt, I've worn this t-shirt now for about, 3 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You right. know, so how many washes? It's just that simple. It's just being mindful, like you said.
Yeah, and you know, I wore that t-shirt from you guys all over Spain,
yes,
hiking and hiking
you.
And just, you know, that thing was bulletproof.
Yeah.
You know, and what really quality garment. What do you have, like, any advice you'd give somebody for, you know, like things that you've learned as far as business wise over the years, the things that kind of surprised you that maybe you thought you didn't, you know, like, oh my gosh, I didn't think about this. And, or that you look back on that you say, oh, I wish I would have known that.
One thing I would love to share that just comes off the top is set aside money for taxes.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Just do your calculations early, especially quarterly, because we've seen businesses get in trouble with that big tax bill. So be mindful about that, like your income and your profits and your taxes.
And bring an accountant on as early as you possibly can. And that's one of those things where, you know, as small business owners, we really feel like we need to do everything. And we do in the beginning because we don't have any money. Like we have to do all of it. But as soon as you possibly can, bring on an accountant. And that's one of the things we're just really, we hear all these things about support small businesses and we love small businesses. And it's like, okay, to truly support small businesses, you need to come in and you need to shop.
Yeah.
You need to buy things from us. We get that, oh, I've been meaning to come in. I was like, that does not pay the bills.
And now it's easy because you don't really have to even come in,
right? Exactly.
I mean, you can just go online and order.
Yeah. But then, you know, we hear from like politicians and legislators is like, I support, you know, running for office, I support small businesses. You should need to be talking about lowering taxes. Like the small business tax burden is absurd compared to what these corporations don't pay.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we pay more taxes than Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, that's absurd.
Yeah, it is.
Like, and that's another reason that small businesses are going under is because it's just, when you have a 35, 40% tax rate. That's
and you know, and then those bigger businesses swoop in and fill in the void.
Right. They do. Ship faster, cheaper, all yeah. that good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there has been more. I think everybody got kind of burned out on Amazon during the pandemic. Speaking for myself anyways, because it was so nice just to get something.
Something. Like, and it was fast.
I remembered me and I sent me a gift.
Now they make you pay and wait.
Exactly. It's not even fast anymore.
I know. Well, let's tell people again how they can find your store. And how they can find you online.
DomandBaum.com, and we're at 59 East Queen, Suite 106, right across the street from the Northtown Mall.
And again, Dom and Baum is a really, it's a gender-affirming, people of color-affirming, plus-size affirming, tiny-size affirming.
Yes.
And it's just, and so it's a place for my dear listeners who worry about maybe stepping out as you might truly be, you're going to be welcome there. And that's, you know, that's most, I find a lot of places you'd be surprised in Spokane, you are welcome, but it's great when somebody says, we really want you here.
Yes.
And that's really cool. And let's talk one more time about before we break here, about how people can get when the event of the fashion show is and how they can get tickets and what they can expect.
October 26th, and we'll have tickets on sale next week. So check out our website. You can sign up for updates. And so the day portion is going to be from 12 to 4. We're going to have vendors. We're going to have food trucks. It's all ages and it's free. The evening portion is from 6 to midnight. We're going to have runway shows, drag performances, burlesques, singers. And then we're going to close out the night between 10 and midnight with a DJ and dance party. And that is ticketed. And we will also be streaming virtual. So if you can't make it out.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful time.
Yes.
You know, and it's funny when you were talking about the runway stuff. I went to Rock the Runway like I talked about. And it is a great venue. But it finally just clicked in my little brain that runway. And it's at the airport. Runway.
Right.
Sometimes it takes me a long time.
Right. Yes.
Okay, we're going to break and we'll be right back.
The people from back home again and again. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Thank you.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome back to Out and About. I'm your host, Captain DJ Mabe. I'm talking to my friends Kim and Delana from Dom and Bomb. And, you know, we've talked a lot. We've talked about the fashion show. We've kind of reviewed your origins. And this is all just a big setup because I have a fashion question for you. I just realized I just consulted my notes, which I occasionally do.
Okay.
What's the deal with women's pockets, like in jeans and shorts?
It's cheaper to make garments without pockets, first of all.
Okay.
And it keeps the purse and bag industry going.
Okay.
And I've also heard theories about it makes women more vulnerable, and that's purposeful. So if you have to run or do something and grab your purse and all that, you're more vulnerable, so okay. It keeps you in that position.
Okay, so why not just don't put any pockets in at all? That's what I don't understand. I don't understand, like, why does anybody ever go like, hey, those are really nice pockets. You know, that jean looks so much better because it has pockets in it.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Yeah. We get a lot of requests for pockets, so.
But I mean, like, usable pockets.
Usable pockets where you can actually fit your entire hand
in
your pocket. Yeah. Not one that would just maybe hold a piece of Trident gum. You know.
But you would not believe how men's clothing is designed and created for convenience and to be altered. So much of men's clothing has extra fabric in it where you could take things
really?
Out. Yes.
So like if like a sport coat or something like that would
even
have more.
Even pants.
Yeah. Really?
Like men's clothing is designed to be altered. Women's is not. Women's is designed for consumption and then throwing it away.
Right. Oh, that's horrible.
It is.
For example, a seam allowance, like after you sew a seam, there's a little bit of extra fabric.
Right.
It's about 1/8 of an inch for women's garments and about 2 inches for men's.
Whoa.
So you're able to like take it out. You could eat all the Thanksgiving food you want and then have your garments taken out.
I guess so that's the expectation, right? Yes. Hey guys, you're going to get bigger, and that's okay.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So usually advise folks that if you're going to buy a pair of trousers, then maybe buy men's trousers where they can be tailored. And they do have that seam allowance.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
They're better quality.
Yep.
For the same price. It's terrible.
Where do you guys think that fashion's going to be going? What's on the horizon? Anything that you have had your eyes out on any cool trends that you think that are coming up?
I think that there's a lot of hope in, especially with indie designers. So there's, you know, looking at textiles that are more natural. I think it's going to become more practical as the planet heats up. We're going to need more breathable fabric, layers, things like that. So it's going to be more utilitarian, more pockets, hopefully.
I was thinking that too, yeah, more pockets.
But I think that we're really, we have to change how we're doing things. We have to cut our addiction to fast fashion. Like it's untenable, and the fashion industry is just going to keep producing it. We're even seeing it with luxury brands, where there seems to be the start of a reckoning there, because they're using the same factories as fast fashion.
Oh, sure.
And they're just charging a lot more, but the people are seeing the reduction in quality. That's another thing that we've seen from the pandemic, is just a reduction of quality across the board. So I'm hoping that people will start demanding better and will really see the impact that all of these decisions and these systems are, especially on people in the global south. Like the people in the global north buy the most, but then we dispose of it in the global south and they're paying the price. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that brands like us will keep leading the way, we'll keep educating, and people will start to understand and get away from those Shein and those Temu hauls.
Well, and then there's also like the microplastics, right?
Yes.
From some of the fibers that people don't think about, like polyester and all that. Well, that's going to break down into microplastics, and
every time you wash it,
it goes out. I mean, it's just an interesting, and people love to buy new clothes. I mean, that's fun. I mean, for me, I usually go to thrift stores because you can get the same kind of thrill, you know?
Yeah, retail therapy is a thing.
And it's and none of us are saying don't buy any new clothes. It's just be thoughtful. Yeah. If you're not paying for it, so if you're buying a $4 shirt or a $2 shirt off of Shein, if you're not paying for it, somebody is.
That's a great way to look at it.
And we just have to be really mindful, and it's just be more selective. Do you really need it? Are you going to wear it? Like, that's the other thing, is think about how many times you're going to wear it. Can you wear it 30 times? Because really, that's what we should be
how do you keep your closet and all that, orderly and pared down? I mean, do you have a method of going through clothes and okay, what is your method?
I color code. So first of all, I kind of organized my closet when I moved, and I added extra piping so that I could hang heavy garments, because a lot of the hardware in our closets does not hold up to the clothes we really wear, especially if we're a bigger body. So first, you have to reinforce all of your hardware. And then I color code my closet. So all of my clothes are in order by color.
Oh, okay.
And that really does help me, because I will just kind of look at my clothes, stare at them for an hour before I make a decision. But being organized that way really does help me. And then I do the same with my shoes. So the way that I like to get dressed is I start with an accessory and build out from that.
Oh,
and that's how I do my styling, is say, well, what's the most inspirational piece of this entire outfit?
Okay.
And then I go from there, and then I just grow. Because what that does is, if you use a piece that you already have for inspiration, then chances are you can, you know, build your wardrobe, especially like a capsule wardrobe, where you always have that thing to pair with all of the things that you incorporate, or maybe go to the thrift store and bring to us for tailoring, that you really want, that special piece. That's the thing, is you don't have to buy a bunch of new clothes. You can go to the thrift store, buy something, maybe it doesn't fit you perfectly, you bring it in to us, we tailor it, and that becomes your special piece. So,
and your tailoring is very reasonably priced, I thought too. Yeah, I mean, certainly makes it worth it. If you buy something at a thrift store that you really like, it doesn't fit, you're still going to be ahead of the game and do a good thing for the planet by bringing it in there. What do you think about, like, do people overwash their clothes, do you think, too? I mean, I've been reading about people, they don't need to wash their clothes as much as they think they do.
Yeah,
you can keep reusing them. And I think, as a kid, I think I was just lazy. I just didn't want to hang something back up, you know?
You know, the thing about that is it really does depend. There is no rule that applies to every person.
Yeah.
So I perspire a lot. So a lot of the times I can't rewear a garment after a full day, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a rule that everyone should follow. You have to follow what works best for you because we aren't all the same. Right. And our bodies aren't all the same. So it's one of those things that, you know, if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
And some of us are really self-conscious of odors and stains and things like that.
Yes.
To where it's just that extra piece of comfort that you need when you leave the house, that's one less thing you have to worry about.
Yeah.
I think more importantly is really following the washing instructions.
Okay.
It sounds simple, but that's the manufacturer, the fabric production, they've figured out how the best way to wash it is. So to follow those instructions, and that will extend the life of the garment. So even like, you know, Delina was saying, like, you do want to wash it every time based on, you know, perspiration, job, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Make sure you're following those instructions. And the other thing is, you don't always have to, you don't have to take it to the dry cleaner. Sometimes with things that say dry clean, you could do a hand wash or something
right? Okay.
Because then you don't have all the chemicals and things like that.
Oh, that's true. Because that's still pretty, I think they've tried to make some inroads on that, but it's still pretty bad.
Yeah exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of fashions do you think, what kind of fashions are we going to see at this fashion show? I'm segueing back into the fashion show so we can make a plug for it.
So we can talk about ours.
Yes.
So we are going to be launching customizable coveralls here. And so we're going to be showing off some of those. Yes.
I saw that.
And so we're going to have some workwear. And then we also, the person that we hired who's doing our sewing and tailoring, she's amazing. She went to fashion school in Lebanon, and she designs formal wear. So we're going to have some really beautiful dresses and things like that.
Oh, wonderful.
And then we've also, this year, we have started doing styling and tailoring for weddings. So we've had some wedding suits out there that have just been really, really cool. So we're going to show those off as well.
I love the coverall idea. I have a Wild Fang from Portland, I think.
Yes.
It's a Portland company. I don't know if they're made in Portland, but it's a Portland company, and that I got at Buffalo Exchange in Portland.
Oh yeah.
And it was a great deal, but it's really short in the legs. It fits me great.
Oh, ours have long legs.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to ask you about. So
short sleeve, long sleeve, short, long.
Okay,
length.
I'm in.
Okay,
I'm in.
Good.
Yeah, that sounds good. All sorts of different colors.
Yes,
absolutely.
And we're gonna have patches and things to customize them. So
make it yours.
Yeah.
We want them to be snowflake coveralls.
Yeah.
No two are the same.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I thought you were calling me a snowflake.
You're totally original, right?
Okay, okay. So let's let people know one more time how they can find you, and then we're going to let Jim Hightower or whoever else is talking on the radio do their thing.
DomandBomb.com, and that's where you can sign up for updates and hear about the fashion show. And then 59 East Queens, Suite 106, right across the street from the Northtown Mall.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane.
Here's a hard right political twist I was not expecting, and Tim Walz is probably surprised too. Within the confines of Trump's MAGA world, some are appalled by Walz's wealth. Wealth? They're claiming this former high school teacher is rich? No, and that bothers them. Walz gets a gubernatorial paycheck and a modest public pension. That's it. no portfolio of Wall Street stocks, no deferred payouts on corporate bonuses, and he doesn't even own a house, much less a vacation home. While this pegs him as a regular middle-class American, it seems to put off a covey of moneyed Trumpsters who see his lack of riches as a personal weakness. The Wall Street Journal recently featured one such partisan who says he prefers, quote, a high-net-worth politician, like J.D. Vance. Being rich, explained the partisan, means a candidate, quote, has financial acumen, business, and investment savvy. Righto. For example, Vance was savvy enough to kiss up to right-wing Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel, who has pumped millions into the fictional hillbilly, turning Vance into a pretentious Hill William. And please stop pretending that rich candidates are less corrupt since they aren't dependent on special interest funding. Trump himself put the lie to that when he recently begged a big oil group to give $1 billion to his campaign in exchange for his promise to slash their taxes. This is Jim Hightower saying, most bizarre is the assertion by Wall's critics that his failure to be invested in Wall Street stocks means he's out of touch with the financial concerns of, quote, the average American. Hello, nearly all stocks are owned by the super rich, like Trump and Vance. In fact, the average American family owns zero stocks, just like Wall's. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
This is KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on the dial at 88.1 and 92.3 FM and streaming at kyrs.org.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, this is Democracy Now!, War, Peace, and the Presidency, breaking with convention.
Let me know in my heart when my days are through. America, America, I gave my best to you.
President Biden on the opening night of the Democratic National Convention out on the streets of Chicago